We'll come in on verse 4. All the men folk, please. Prayer, we'll hear a message and song from Natasha. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that we can come to a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. We give thee thanks tonight for the many answers to prayer that thou hast given even through this time of lockdown. In this period of this pandemic, we thank you for the many people who have recovered from this illness, in hospitals, in their own homes, throughout this land and throughout this nation and across the world. Lord, we realize also many people have lost their lives. And oh God, our prayers are with the families that are left behind. We pray for comfort and grace at this time of great need across this land and throughout the world. We pray that thou wouldst meet the need of every family in distress, every individual in distress because of loss and bereavement. Those, O God, who work in hospitals, who work in care homes, who work in care in the community, thou wilt protect them and bless them in their ministry to all who are in need at this time. Father, we come at this time also to give thee thanks for the victory that thou didst give 75 years ago. No God, in recent times, V-Day has been celebrated. In a different way, of course, with present circumstances across our nation and other places in the world. We thank thee, O God, for thine intervention at that time. For those who with great courage stood between us and the enemy. And gave us the liberties that we enjoy today. We remember then, at the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. O God, our Father, we come for this service tonight. We pray for thy presence with us as we meet around thy word. We pray that thou wilt speak to our hearts, that our hearts will be focused upon thy word, that thou wilt speak to us about eternal things. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt lead precious souls to saving faith in Christ this night. We pray for those who are backslidden in heart and life. We pray, O God, that they might be restored, O God, to the joy of thy salvation. We pray for each one of thy people, that we may be encouraged, that we may be strengthened in these days, that the church of God might go forward as an army terrible with banners, marching forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity to spread the word in this way. And we pray that people who listen in tonight, wherever they are, will know thy blessing and thy favor upon them. We pray for our church family here too in Ballygan, that thou wilt meet the need of every individual, every family member, young, middle-aged, and older. We pray that thou wilt comfort and strengthen those who need that at this time. And for all of us with the challenges of these days,
that thou wilt grant us grace and give us help from heaven even at this time. Remember those who sorrow in the church family. Think of David Foster and his sister Heather and the loss of their dear mother. We pray for David and Louise and Heather, the family at this time, that thou wilt comfort them, that thou wilt be their portion. We thank thee that our dear sister Mrs. Foster is in the glory. At the moment she passed away yesterday, she passed into thine immediate presence. Lord, give grace and help to those who are left behind. In the presence of death wilt thou speak. And to those who are not saved, lead them to know and to trust her Savior. Be with us now and bless us in this service. And glorify thy name across this world tonight as the gospel of Jesus Christ is heralded forth. We ask it in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen.
In the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blood that was shed for many for the remission of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. May the Lord bless the ministry and song to all of our hearts this evening. We're reading together from the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19.
And let us hear the Word of God as we turn to it tonight in this portion of the New Testament Scriptures, reading together from the opening verse of John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." And Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. He saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts.
By sinful men.
I'm sure you'll join me in thanking Natasha for that beautiful ministry and song. May the Lord draw us to the cross afresh tonight to think about the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're glad to be able to welcome you to our service tonight. Just want to make one or two announcements at this stage. The service, I want to say a special word of thanks to our sound team for their work and making this possible. And we appreciate their efforts and their labours in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also Mark on Facebook, who does the Facebook thing day by day, but especially today at different times when Hugh and David have been involved and Christopher and Jonathan. We appreciate that very much indeed as well. Now, please remember the time of prayer each weekday, each day at 2 p.m. as we exhort our people to come before the throne of grace wherever you are and to remember the needs of this particular time and these unprecedented days in which we live. Also remember the season of prayer on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock when we normally meet in our prayer meeting, but in our homes at this time we're asking you to please remember to come before the throne of grace in prayer and to remember the needs of our congregation, the needs of our land or the nation right across the world at this particular time. Remember our Facebook thoughts going up each day between myself and Mr. Andrew Murray. They're going up each day and have been a comfort and help to so many. And we appreciate your words of encouragement in relation to these. And then next Lord's Day, the services in the same fashion, no doubt, at 11:30 and 7, we meet online and we trust that you will be able to link up with us and join with us in this way. And do pray that the Word of God will go forth with power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Of course, we're always available to speak to you at any time by telephone, or if you need to contact us by email or text, you can do so that way as well. I want to say that normally at this time we'd be saying we're going to have our offering, but of course there's no one here in the church in relation to a congregation. So people have been asking about their offerings, but as we've said before, just send them direct to Mr. Hugh Garrett, Senior, our treasurer, at his home address. If you haven't got that, maybe you can telephone him and make sure you've got the right address and then send it on to him in check form and just made out to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. If you have a number in your envelope, then you can use that number to indicate what it's for, whether building fund or free will offering or missionary, whatever it is for. So please keep that in mind. Let us bring our tithes and our offerings as part of our worship to bring them to the Lord each week and the first day of the week. As I said this morning, our sympathy is toward our brother David Foster and the death of his dear mother yesterday. Please remember David and Louise and David's sister Heather, the family circle at this time. May the God of all comfort be their portion and comfort their hearts in this time of loss and bereavement. Let us come before the throne of grace in prayer. Let us all engage in prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, that we have thee to turn to. We thank thee, O God, that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And so, O God, we worship thee and seek thy face and ask, Lord, for thy blessing, even upon thy word tonight, as it goes forth, that it might go forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I draw your attention tonight to the portion of Scripture we have read from in the 19th chapter of John's Gospel. And we're looking especially at the verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. The subject tonight is Gabbatha, the judgment seat.
The Lord Jesus Christ went through the agony of the Garden of Gethsemane for you and me. And we noted last time in this series of messages the sorrow and the separation and the suffering, the supplication and the submission of the Savior there on in that Garden of Gethsemane. He shed His blood in the garden. The Bible tells us He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The cup of wrath and judgment came before the Lord Jesus Christ as He considered the cross, the sin-bearing on that cruel tree, the death that He would die for sinners, such as you and I. And oh, what love He had for us. What marvelous love. The hymn writer put it like this. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Oh, what love He had for us. To go to the depths of that anguish, even in Gethsemane, that we might receive. And then, of course, we have His betrayal by Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver, betraying the Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of His enemies with a kiss. He was led away to Annas and Caiaphas. It was at this time that Peter denied the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. He was in the hall of judgment. He was brought to the judgment seat, the place called the pavement, Gabbatha in the Hebrew. And again, we wish to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His humiliation for us in that place. And what He endured as He stood before His accuser. In great shame, the object of the hatred and the ridicule of men. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ coming further down in this descent of humiliation, that it would eventually lead Him to the cross, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to hang on that tree, to become a curse for us, to bear our sins, and to shed His precious blood for our salvation. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this, "The cross of Christ runs through the whole of Scripture." The cross of Christ runs through the whole of Scripture. You see, my friends, the scarlet thread runs right through from Genesis to Revelation. May your heart tonight be drawn to consider the Lord Jesus Christ on that way to the cross, and to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look to Christ at this moment and live. For there's life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved. Unto Him who was nailed on that tree. Gabbatha, the judgment seat. And as we look at this particular theme tonight, I want you to think about three things. First of all, the accusations against Christ. The Word of God tells us in Luke's account there, chapter 23 and verse 2. And they began to accuse Him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And these accusations revealed their bitter hatred against the Son of God. They spewed out their venom against the Lord Jesus Christ. They accused Him of perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that He Himself is Christ the King. And in all of this indictment, we know there was not a word of truth. It was nothing but an ingenious attempt to enlist the feelings of the Roman governor against the Lord Jesus Christ. False witness and slander are two favorite weapons of the devil. The Bible tells us in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. And here lies are being used against the Lord Jesus Christ as He's here at the judgment seat. Luke 23:5, they accused Him of stirring up the people through His teaching. And again, this accusation was one trumped up by a people whose sole aim was to silence the Lord Jesus Christ and eventually remove Him from the scene of time. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27 and verse 13, we read that Pilate said to Christ, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And the Scripture tells us, "For many bear false witness against them, and their witness agreed not together. There rose certain that bear false witness against them, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands. Within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together." Mark 14, verses 56 to 59. Bible tells us again in Matthew 26, 59 to 60. "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses." You see, their whole intent was to bring false witnesses. They wanted to put Christ to death. It didn't matter to them what falsehoods were brought against Him to try and build up their case against the Lord Jesus Christ. And so great was their envy against the Son of God that they would go to any lengths to remove Him, to have Him crucified. Truly, my friends, by wicked hands, He was crucified and slain. He was despised, said Isaiah, and rejected of men. John tells us in his Gospel, in chapter 1, verse 11, "He came unto His own," as the Lord Jesus, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." The plot against Christ was forged on the anvil of deceit and lies. It was hatred amongst those who had consulted and conspired and were confederate together against the Son of God. They refused to have Him reign over them. They saw Him as a rival to them. And such was their arrogance and pride, and so swelled up were they with these that they would not permit Him to dwell among them. They sought to catch Him out in His words. They viewed His works with disdain. And right through the course of His life, they accused Him, and they did everything to put ridicule upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says they hated Him without a cause. They pointed the accusing finger at the Lord Jesus Christ again and again. Religious men and women, leaders of religion, even today are no different than they were in the day when Christ was upon this earth. They still hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They still reject. They still refuse. They don't want Christ to reign over them. And their accusations are the same. The accusations of the world at large against the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you amongst His accusers tonight? Those who point the finger of reviling and ridicule against Christ? Numbered amongst those who reject Him, who refuse Him, who will not have the Lord Jesus Christ to reign upon the throne of their heart. Oh, that tonight you might throw down your puny arms of rebellion You may bow the knee to Christ and trust Him even now as your own and personal Saviour. The accusations against Christ. Then I want you to see the attitude toward Christ. And again in Luke 23, verses 18 and 21 and 23, they said, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." They cried, saying, "Crucify him." And they were instant with their loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. In John 19 and 6, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Again, verse 15, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." They would not tolerate the Lord Jesus Christ any longer. They didn't want the Lord Jesus Christ around. In Mark 15 and verse 14, they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." You see, their attitude toward Christ was totally unreasonable. In all that you read of their consulting against him, in their conspiracy against the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that they said by way of accusation, there's nothing but a totally unreasonable attitude that comes through against the Son of God. And the attitude of men and women and young people today is exactly the same. They don't want the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst. They want to run their lives as they please. And men and women and young people today want to do their own thing. They don't want the intrusion of Christ into their lives. They want to get on with their lives, doing what they want themselves, without anyone telling them what to do. They will not have Christ. Is that your attitude tonight toward the Lord Jesus Christ? The attitude that was manifested even in the day when Jesus Christ was upon this earth, as He went that way to Calvary. Their attitude towards Christ was one of total hatred. They totally rejected Him. They could not stand the Lord Jesus Christ in any way. Remember how they called Him the friend of publicans and sinners, a winebibber and gluttonous, one who cast out devils by the prince of devils. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Is that not the attitude of the world tonight? The world at large toward the Lord Jesus Christ. One of rebellion, one of rejection, one of refusal. One of resisting Him at all costs. They hate Him, they revile Him, they ridicule Him, they trample His name in the mire, they despise His message in every way, they blaspheme the name of Christ. And every opportunity is taken to show their hatred to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your attitude tonight? You hate the Son of God, despise Him, reject Him. Their attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ was also one of direct confrontation at every stage. They sought to confront the Son of God. They sought to seize opportunity after opportunity. And how many things they witnessed against Him. For example, they talked against Him and spoke against Him about healing on the Sabbath day, about forgiving sins and many other things. They had learned men bringing forth their perplexing questions to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they encouraged the multitude in the same path of direct confrontation. They persuaded the people in this way. And the powers of these religious leaders were great. They had great influence, an influence for evil. The Bible tells us, for example, there in Mark chapter 15, 11, "But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them." This influence that they had against the Lord Jesus Christ to move the people. The influence to get others to reject Him. Not this man, but Barabbas. And how they put pressure on Pilate to deliver Christ to be crucified. On a number of occasions he declared he found no fault in Christ and even was prepared to release the Lord Jesus Christ. But he bowed to the will of the people who were moved by the religious leaders of their day. What is your attitude tonight toward the Lord Jesus Christ? You will either accept Him or reject Him. And your eternal destiny hangs upon what you do with Christ. What will you do with Jesus tonight? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday your soul will be asking, what will He do with me? Oh, my friend, we see their accusations against Christ, their attitude towards Christ. We see their actions against Christ. The Bible tells us of this, that they scourged Him here in this chapter we've read from this evening, chapter 19 and verse 1. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. They placed the crown of thorns upon His lovely brow, and there flowed from the head of the Son of God rivers of crimson blood. Of course, they did this in order to ridicule Him further, to make Him the object of scorn and scoffing. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, verse 63, the men that held Jesus mocked Him. They clothed Him in a purple robe. Verse 2 of John 19 tells us. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Scripture also tells us that Herod and his men set Him, that's Jesus, at naught and mocked Him and arrayed Him in a gorgeous robe. They scourged the Son of God. But they not only scourged the Son of God, but they spat upon the Son of God. Mark chapter 15, verse 19. And what a scornful and shameful action this is against any person. It showed the utter disgust and disdain that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they emptied their filthy spittles upon His blessed face. Well, could He say, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." They had no time for Christ. They would not have Him in their lives. They would not recognize Him as Lord. Is that how it is with you tonight? You will not have Christ at any cost. You're going with that worldly crowd on a road to a lost eternity. You're going down, my friend, on that way that will lead you eventually to hell. Oh, I urge you tonight to flee and to come to Christ tonight. They scourged Him, they spat upon Him, they smote Him. The smiting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 64. And when they had blindfolded Him, they struck Him on the face and asked Him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" They smote Him on the head with a reed. Mark 15, 19. And we see their cruelty here to the Lord Jesus Christ that is clearly seen. They plucked the hairs from off His cheeks. "My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I gave my back to the smiters." The scourge was used upon His back. And His back was lashed with that Roman scourge until the skin was torn off and it was flowing with blood. And the agony that the Lord Jesus Christ endured at this time on the way to the cross. Well, my friend, it was not only agony in the garden, agony in Gethsemane, but it was agony also at the judgment seat. And voluntarily the Lord Jesus Christ went this way to the cross and endured all of this for you and me. Bible tells us they stripped Him. Matthew 27, verse 31. "And after they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him." Their shameful actions against the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He was the object of their ridicule. They didn't care what shame he was put to. All they wanted to do was to have their way, to have him crucified. How vile they were. How degrading were their actions against the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals again to us man's total depravity. There is no goodness or righteousness in man. The Bible says that from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The wickedness of man, the wantonness of man. They did their worst against Jesus Christ. They put him to an open shame, and they desired Barabbas to be released instead of Christ. The Bible says there, in Matthew 27:20, but the chief priests and the elders, again these religious leaders, they persuaded the multitude. See their power of persuasion again, that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They wanted Jesus destroyed. Going on there in Matthew 27:21, the governor answered, that's Pilate, said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. They rejected Christ. They would not have Christ. Is it not so that you're numbered amongst that despising crowd? The crowd in this world today, religious and irreligious, who are rejectors of Christ. And the fact that you have never accepted Christ, therefore you have rejected Him. You're on the road to a lost eternity, to that place of everlasting destruction, to that lake of fire. Friend, turn now before it is too late. Seek the Lord now for mercy and forgiveness. Bow the knee now to Christ and take Him as your own and personal Savior. Come to the cross tonight. For this way that the Savior trod eventually led him to Golgotha. You see, we have in Scripture the Garden, Gethsemane. Then we have Gabbatha here as we've been looking at this portion tonight. And then you have Golgotha, the cross itself. And this way led Christ to the cross. And He went there for you and me. He went to the way of the cross. He went to the cross itself in order that you and I might be saved. He laid down His life on the altar of Calvary in order that you might be saved. The way of the cross is the way that leads home. You need to come that way tonight. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. The way of the cross leads home. You come that way tonight. Story is told in Pilgrim's Progress, a wonderful story, of course, of how Pilgrim with his burden, he arrived at the cross, having left the city of destruction, and he looked by faith to the Savior, and the burden of sin that he had weighing heavily upon his back, it fell off and was buried in the grave, and he then exclaimed these wonderful words, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Not only went the way of the cross, but He went to the cross itself in order to die for sinners such as you and I. My friend, you need to get to the cross if you're to be saved. You need to bow by faith and trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. A little lad was lost in the maze of the streets of London. He was going hither and thither, up this street and down the other street, across the road, into another street, up another street, and down another. Eventually he was found by a police officer who tried to help him. He said, son, do you know your address? You know how you can get home. And we lad thought, and he thought, and he said, I don't know my address. And eventually he said to the policeman, if I get to the cross, I'll find my way home. He was thinking of Charing Cross, of course, the station. If he got there, then he would know his way home. But my friend, it's only as you get to the cross of Calvary that you'll find your way home. And thank God you can get to that cross tonight. And to the bleeding wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the suffering, to the atoning work that He accomplished as He finished the work of our redemption. Get to that cross and be saved. My wife tells of the night of her conversion when she came to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and heard Dr. Paisley preach in Donegal Pass Christian Workers Union Hall, and after meeting on a Sunday night a gospel mission. And she said as he preached, she didn't see Dr. Paisley, she saw Christ lifted up on the cross. Lifted up was He to die. It is finished, was His cry. And that night she was saved by the grace of God. Oh, my friend, tonight you can be saved. Don't look at the preacher tonight. Don't look at the pulpit tonight. Don't think about the church tonight. Don't think about a ceremony tonight. But think on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for sinners such as you and I. Will you come to Him tonight? Gabbatha, the judgment seat. And see all that Christ endured on His way to the cross. And then eventually He went to that cross. And He died for sinners such as you and I. Oh, may you come tonight and trust the Savior. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight. Enjoy it in the closing hymn tonight. 219 in the hymn book. On page 265, if you have a hymn book at home. A ruler once came to Jesus by night, to ask Him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again.
like to thank you for listening tonight to God's word and to our service. If we can be of any help to you, please do make contact with us. We'd be happy to speak to you on the phone to show you from God's word how you can receive it. Or if you're a backslider, how you can come back to the Lord. Don't leave it tonight, but come to the Lord tonight. Don't remain another moment in your sin. Trust the Savior tonight. May God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by thy Holy Spirit, apply the word of God to the hearts of those that have heard. We pray, O God, that tonight there'll be those that will come to the cross and lose their burden of sin and trust in Christ and in his finished work and be saved for time and for eternity. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.